Thank you for tuning in to Lighten Up with Jen and Sherry. This show is an invitation to let go of what's holding you down, laugh more, and love like crazy. If you've tuned in live to this episode, please call in now and be a part of the show. Our number is area code 646-200-0825. And now, flying solo for today is our hostess, Jen.
Hello, welcome to Lighten Up with Jen and Sherry. I'm Jen Halterman. I am flying solo today on the air anyway, and I welcome you to the show, to this environment, to the conversation. There's so much going on, and all I will totally admit, I have a little bit of spring fever because I wanted this to be spring break week. And apparently the universe is willing to comply because the internet went down for me yesterday, and yeah, I have some time to do some spring cleaning of my office. It was kind of fabulous, actually. And so I am back. I'm here with you now. I'm excited to be with you and to talk about this topic. I always know when a topic's brewing or bubbling because if I'm not clear about it, it'll actually feel like a little bit of frustration, a little bit of angst, a little bit of, what's going on? And today when the message became clear, when the topic became clear, I literally was excited to talk about it. And so as an entrepreneur, as a speaker, as a coach, as a radio show host, that's one of the tools that I use. If a topic feels heavy, quite often I'll actually change the topic. I've done too many shows to spend my time in a space of dread when it comes to talking about a topic for an hour. And so I was sharing this one, or I was creating this one at the last minute, literally quarter till is when this thing went live. And the reason is I think that I was in a space of not quite sure how to teach the concept that was within me, not quite sure how I was going to express it. And then guess what, y'all? If you know me, you know the answer to this question. A metaphor came up. That's how it came through. I teach in metaphors and I teach in through examples. I don't just like to talk about a concept. I like to actually have something relatable. And so when this became relatable is when the topic really settled in. And so I hope that you will sit back as we explore this topic of breaking free from the repeat cycle of inner work. Far too often when I talk to people about inner work, they feel frustrated. They feel like they've been doing it forever. They don't want to get stuck. I've had people contact me and say, yeah, I thought I wanted to do some inner work, but I got talking to some people and they're like, don't start. Once you start, you'll never stop. You'll be stuck forever. And it's such a negative that it has a bad reputation. And so I did a little research. I started asking questions. I've asked some clients. I've asked friends, that kind of thing. And as I spoke on Monday's show, the shortened show, I talked about, you know, you got to really be sure that you're in an environment that honors you, that honors you as the person with the knowledge, that that environment is there to lead you to your own inner wisdom and not just create a guru or not just create an outside source as the go-to for your wisdom and knowledge. Because unfortunately, that's kind of the dynamic that religion is created after. It's a model, and some of the inner work has gone to that to create their inner work programs, that the guru is the one with the answers. And for some people, that works. It doesn't work for me. For some people, that is something that works, and they love it, and they thrive in it. Not me. No, I like to actually have my own voice and my own clarity and that act of, you know, so-called blind faith, where you put faith in outside sources and people who are human also, just doesn't jive with me. So that's where I'm coming from as I talk about this topic is this repeat cycle gets a really bad rap. And in my work and in my perspective, I don't think it has to. So I'm speaking from the space of I don't believe we have to get stuck here. I don't believe it. I think that we can set ourselves free. And so, like I said, I always know that a topic has landed when the metaphor shows up and it just like, whoa. So this is a metaphor show, which I love. And I have a couple of metaphors that we're going to go through about this, okay? So just sit back. This is there's a little bit of story time to behold, but what I want you to do is I want you to allow the story, the invitation is to allow the story to take you on a journey into your own process. Because the truth is, as many people as listen to these shows, it is up to you. When I give a metaphor, I don't know which one you're going to resonate with or how it applies to your life. I just trust the metaphor is going to reach you. And I actually trust listeners to apply it to their life the way they see fit. You see, that's kind of the difference about me. I don't want to be the one to tell you what this means. I just want to hold that space for you to find what it means in your life, in your heart, in your soul. Yeah. So when I hear clients say, I'm so tired of dealing with this problem. Well, it happened again. When will I be done with this issue? Those are three quotes that I used in the show description. I feel very sad. I feel saddened by that. I have friends, conversations with friends that I've had. I've said it myself. I don't have judgment about it, but I do have an emotional response to that. And the reason I do is I know that frustration. I can remember when, and I've talked about it a few times, but I can remember when I was in crisis management in a former marriage, when I would be like, you got to be kidding me, again? And as I went through that, oh, again? There were times that I felt like, you know, I'm doing everything I can. And there were times that I went, this isn't my problem anymore. I can't keep you faithful. I can't, you know, whatever. And then there were times that I was like, okay, I give up. I quit. Do what you, whatever you're going to do. I'm not even going to try to stop you. And it wasn't until I got to a different space and learned some skills did I look at that situation and go, huh, I totally see how that all happened. And I see my part in it. And to me, that's when that cycle broke. I never again repeated that cycle. And so that's what I'm going to be teaching you today. That's the skills, the tools I'm going to be teaching you. You may not know how to implement them. You may need to call me for a conversation. You may want to do, you know, some coaching to learn the skills to put them in place so that you can actually implement them on an automatic way so that they are part of who you be. That may all happen, but it doesn't mean that I'm not going to tell you what it is. That's the truth. I'm not going to hold that back. That's not fair. I think it's crappy. And far too many of the people out there using marketing schemes to do that, I think they play a game and I don't think it's kind. And so the most honorable thing I can do is to share with you what worked for me and tell you what it is, and I can give you some ideas on how to apply it to your life. And then if you want support, I'm going to trust that you're going to contact me to get some support, or you're going to contact somebody to get some support, because you can change and get yourself out of the repeat cycle of inner work, okay? So the first metaphor I want to take you into, all right, and I see this so clearly because I'm not going to lie, this is a real-life metaphor. These metaphors actually unfolded in my mind as memories. So the first one is fishing. And it's my little boy. So let me paint you a picture of Tom. Tom, from about the age of 4 through even when he had his mohawk up into his teenage years, probably up until about 17 years old, Tom wore baseball caps a lot. And only when he had, like, his mohawk spike, because he wore a 12-inch mohawk for many years. Yay, Tom, way to be individual. But when he was a little boy, little towhead, that perfect spiked, you know, late 90s, little spiky part on the side kid, even when he had this adorable soft blonde hair, whenever he was going outside to do something, if he was not, you know, doing that hair perfectly, he had a ball cap on. So when I see Tom fishing, I see him in a ball cap. I see him in camouflage, cargo shorts style. I see him with his hiking boots on, not just tennis shoes. He always had the ankle support because of the situation with his ankles. I see him in his, you know, short sleeve shirt or baseball style t-shirt. And I see him standing next to a lake in Colorado. And it's a little lake we used to go to a lot. So that's what I see. I can literally see the water glistening, the sunlight glistening, and I would see him. Now, if you're not a fisher person, okay, if you don't like it, I still want you to follow this metaphor, even if you think this doesn't apply to me. I still want you to stick with me if you're willing, because there, Tom has something to teach you. How's that? That's so cute. Tom has something to teach us, both. All of us, everybody. So here's Tom, and at this point, what I'm envisioning, he's about 6 years old. He's standing on the bank of the fishing place, and I can actually see him transitioning up into going to Oklahoma and going back to Colorado and Utah and all these places, but by this lake, and he's standing there. Now, the sun is bright in his eyes, so he's positioning himself so the sun isn't glaring in his eyes, and he is casting his line out, and he's trying to wait as patiently as a six-year-old can, and then he's reeling it back in, and he's casting his line out. He's trying to be patient, but he's reeling it back in. At this point, as a mom, I look back, and I go, man, I should have taught him how to be a fly fisherman. He would have been so much better at it, but we're going to stick because I didn't do that at the time. And he keeps doing this repeatedly. And inevitably, before too long, I would lose my focus on him because there were four kids fishing, actually. And so I was helping different kids, doing different things, and I was in my novel. I'd get a book out, I'd sit in the chair, I'd soak in some sunshine, and I would read. And I would hear this, Mom, Mama, is actually what he would say. Can you help me? I've got a knot. I'd, sure. And I'd help him. We'd address the knot issue. And if I couldn't do it, he'd go over and interrupt my husband at the time's fishing. And he, Dad, can you help me? I've got a knot. And he would try to address the knot issue. And then, if the knot could not be resolved, he'd pull out his pocket knife, he'd cut the line, he'd get out a hook, reattach a hook to the line, rebait, and go back out to fishing. Now, here's the thing. This happened over and over and over. I can't even tell you how many fishing lines I've taken knots out of, and I've undone the knots. And knot after knot, Tom would keep fishing, and Tom would get frustrated. And there were actually times when I found him sitting on the bank, not fishing, with tears streaming down his face, because he had another knot, and he just didn't want to have to ask for help again. And so he quit fishing. When this comes to doing your inner work, how many times have you been the one, I've got a problem, I need some help, and somebody helps you get out of the problem, and somebody helps you cut the problem out, like maybe do a clearing or maybe do some energy work. But no matter what you do about getting rid of the knot, when you go back to your life, it happens again. How many times have you gotten to the point that you're the one sitting in your life, tears streaming down your dirty little face, saying, I don't even want to try anymore because I'm tired of the knots. I'm tired of the pain. I'm tired of cutting this problem out. I'm tired of buying more line, thinking I'm not going to get knots in it. How many times have you quit your inner work because you were tired of cutting out the knots? You see, that's part of why people get tired and they quit their inner work. Because what good's going fishing if all you're doing is cutting out knots and untangling bush, you know, leaves from your line and having to rebait the hook? Because if your goal is catching fish and you feel frustrated because you're always dealing with losing a hook and bait falling off and having everything wrong and getting knots, it can feel like, why bother? And you can quit. There's so many times that this does happen. And there are many, many people that I have talked to that said, I have tried. I have gone to workshops. I have gone to coaches. I have gone to healers. I've addressed this issue. I don't want to address it anymore, so I'm done. I'm going to quit. I'm going to leave the problem where it is because at least I know this problem. And they just stop. And they go about life with the knot in their line. Yeah, this is one of the cycles of inner work that people feel trapped in. And quite honestly, it breaks my heart. Because you know what the truth is? Tom learned how to cut his own line with his own pocket knife. And he learned how to undo the knot a little bit. Okay? And then he just figured it was easier to cut it off than to actually untangle it anymore. So he would cut the line. He would re-put a fishing hook on it. He'd rebait it and he'd go back to fishing. And then he quit fishing for good because it just wasn't fun. So that's one metaphor. You know, when we are in our inner work, when we are in that space and we go to that space where it's like, oh my gosh, I'm so done with this. I'm so done processing this. I am so sick of doing clearing work and feeling like I just keep having more to clear. I am so tired and exhausted of all of the emotional processing and being stuck in it. And I don't feel like I'm ever going to get it right. Why? Because I keep having to process it. I'm not doing it right. It's wrong. All of that repeats. And that is part of what people, where they lose their light, where they lose their commitment to doing their work, where they lose hope that inner work has any worth or value. Okay. I'm going to go to the next metaphor because this matters. It matters because you all relate to different things. Apparently my kids want to be part of the show today. So this next metaphor, when I was growing up, my mother actually was an entrepreneur, even though she didn't know what an entrepreneur was. She owned her own business, so she could be a, quote, stay-at-home mom, even though she worked so hard. She taught us all how to do it, too, because she taught us how to be entrepreneurs. She taught us how to make stuff work at home. She taught us how to be creative. She taught us how to be determined. She taught us how to change with the market. She taught us so much through this business. And one of the things that it did is it created a passion within me. She started out with stamped cross-stitch patterns that you kind of do embroidery style. And then she transitioned into counter cross-stitch patterns as the trend kind of changed in the 80s and 90s. And so I have a huge history in counter cross stitch. And I used to do this days in, days out. I did it. I sold them. I love it. I think it's beautiful. And I gave myself fabulous carpal tunnels by doing it. But counter cross stitch, if you don't know what it is, the fabric is a weave that every single weave where it crosses over creates a square or a box, but there's four holes at the corners of it, so you can literally bring thread through that hole of the corner, go up to the opposite one, down, come back up just below that, and create an X cross stitch. That's the stitch that you're actually creating. You do an entire design with the stitching, and you use what we call floss. It's an embroidery thread that's very fine. okay? And we did it using thread, and oh my gosh, these two little teeny threads or one thread or, you know, whatever. It was crazy, crazy, I'm telling you. And it's a really tedious thing. However, I watched my mom do it. My sister and I did it. You know, family did it. It's a family thing. This is something that my family does. So little Kelsey, about the age of 8, started wanting to do cross stitch. So, and I still have it. She did a stamped cross stitch for me. It was for Mother's Day. Emotional. Love metaphors, right? Especially when they're from our real life, because there's the emotion. Anyway, it says, I am a child of God. Has little hearts on it. And it is very precious to me. Whew. So, here's my little girl. She's wanting to learn how to do cross stitch. And at the point she did the stamp cross stitch, she was about 6. But when she got a little older, she wanted to do the count of cross stitch. Well, if you can imagine, we're talking about knots and tangles again. Because when you give a child, you know, you've got a embroidery hoop on the fabric holding it taut so they can stitch in and out. And you go down and they're not seeing where the thread is so they can pull it through and make a knot super easy. It's so easy to make a knot in counter cross stitch. And so she's doing this and doing counter cross stitch. And there are tangles and there are knots. And in counter cross stitch, if you have that tail end of the thread exposed outside of the knot and it's not trapped in the knot, it's pretty easy. Pull the needle out, use the needle, start unpicking that knot, rethread the needle, and go back to your count and cross stitch. Sometimes you get that thread trapped in the knot itself. And guess what? You can't undo that knot. Because part of the problem that keeps that knot in place is that you can't get the needle free. So sometimes you actually have to cut the thread, which means all the work you've done with that thread is now undone before you can continue on. I am making this hobby seem excruciating because, yeah, knots in crafting when you're doing count across it sucks and they create a pain in the butt to undo, okay? So here I am with Kelsey. We're untangling knots. We're undoing work. And this repeats and repeats. And Kelsey's a little spitfire. She would get frustrated, and she's like, Mama, I'm not doing this again. No. And she'd get so mad that there was more unpicking than actually creating that she quit. She didn't keep repeating the cycle. There's only so many times that Kelsey would repeat a cycle before she would bug her out. She'd be like, no. Tom, on the other hand, fishing. He gets a knot in his line, he kept going and going. He found a solution, he bought more line. He bought more line because he was going to go fishing. And he was going to cut off all knots he had to because he was going to stay fishing. And he wasn't going to be that 6-year-old sitting in the dirt with tears streaming down his face again because he just couldn't stand to ask for help one more time. Instead, Kelsey went, I'm done. This didn't work. This isn't for me. I quit. Oh, so when I apply this to inner work and I see people come in, they see the beauty that somebody's created, that they change their life through their inner work. They see how the end result is an amazing transformation in somebody's life. And they think, I want my life to look like that. I'm going to do the work. And they get in and they realize that they're untangling knots and they get frustrated and they don't see their end result and it's not worth it because, you see, they didn't even get one fish to eat. Like with Tom, he kept, you know, even if he got one fish, he's still going to fish for 2 months before he got another one. But there's some people who, if they don't get those results and they don't get them fast enough and they don't get them immediate enough, not quick enough, it wasn't worth the effort. They don't get the end result, and they're done. When I see this, in inner work. And when I witness people who say, look, I paid a shit ton of money, shit ton of money. I did the work. I gave up all that time going to that class. I did all these sessions. I've cried. I've hit pillows. You know, I've written letters and burned them. I've done clearings. I've talked to the moon. I've talked to rocks. I've gone and talked to my parents. I forgave my ex-husband. My life doesn't look any better. I quit. I feel very sad about that. My heart feels sad about that. Because it doesn't have to be that way. So let's talk about what's the difference here. When we go into inner work to fix a problem, like I got a knot in my fishing line, I keep getting a knot in my floss and my counter cross stitch pattern, I keep getting into the same cycle of abuse, my husband keeps cheating on me, I keep over drinking, I keep abusing drugs, I keep forgetting to take care of myself and put everybody ahead of myself, I keep loaning money to people when I know that they're using it for their addictions. And you come to inner work, whether it's a coach or a class or anything, you come with that situation, that problem, that discomfort. Why am I single? Why am I fat? Why am I unhappy? Why can't I make money? Come with that problem. Excuse me. And you start doing the work of pulling apart the problem. Because you think, hey, if I untie the knot, I can go back to my life. The knot's the problem, right? The knot's the problem. The knot in the thread, the knot in my heart, the knot in my bank account, the knot in the fishing line. It's the problem. That's what's got to be addressed. So you go and you do your work and you start picking at the knot to get it undone. And when you get that undone, or when somebody gives you permission to cut that line and get it undone, you feel relief. You feel relief. Oh, great question. Thank you so much for sending the question in. So which is better, untying or cutting? Well, that's part of the magic right there. They're both good. They both bring relief, but that's not where the true cycle is broken. So I'm going to tell you the secret. Just a minute. Hang on. You've got to learn. You need to know how to unpick the knot. It serves you. You need to know how to cut the line and redo your fishing line and rebait the hook and go back. Those are important skills. But that's not where the true magic happens. The true magic is, sweetie, how did you get the knot in your line? How did you get the knot in the thread? How did you put your heart behind a shield? How did this happen? You see, because as with the counter cross stitch, if you are dealing with thread underneath the fabric you're doing, if you will learn to tip your hand slightly, and watch yourself pull the needle through the fabric so that you don't loop through the thread, you won't create the knot. You'll actually learn how not to create the knot. So you must get accountable by learning how you're creating the knot. What ended up happening with Tom and the fishing, when it came to casting a reel and it comes to fly fishing, it is an entirely different process. It's a different flip of the wrist. It's a different angle of the line, overhead, over shoulder, out and at a 45-degree angle. It's a completely different flow of the process. And you might just need to turn your wrist so you stop creating the knot. But if in your inner work you're just going to fix the problem or to do that crisis situation that we talked about last week on the shows and do the crisis coaching. If you don't go beyond that, if you're not just seeking to feel relief and you go, oh, ha, the knots are gone. Okay, I feel better. Everything's fine. I could go on now. I'm done doing my work. You miss the opportunity to go deeper and say, okay, I'm so glad we alleviated that crisis. This is awesome. Now, how did I create the crisis? You see, because in knowing how you created the crisis, you can actually be aware of how not to create the crisis. Because in cutting off the knot or untangling the knot, it doesn't matter. It actually doesn't matter which way you choose. There are people that do clearing work with me, and clearing work is a very spiritual-based work, and they can clear and clear and clear and clear, and guess what? If they do not follow it with life-changing action, they're going to keep clearing the same damn thing over and over, just like cutting off the knot and undoing the knot. And people can come and they can coach and coach and coach. And they can do processes and they can get over-processed like a bad perm from the 80s. And they could just keep crying about it and pounding on pillows. And they can keep emoting and they can keep doing all this stuff. And all that's really good, except for if they're doing the same thing because they have not addressed that they keep creating the situation by knowing how they created it and making changes before the situation occurs. They're going to get stuck in that cycle as well. So the wisdom that I have to share is go deeper. Because I can't tell you unless I'm working. I mean, my work is individual. Yeah, I can teach you a concept. Get accountable. Look at what contributes to it. But the truth is, until we do one-on-one work and we know, what are the habits that are creating this? What are the thought processes you have about the situation in general that keep you thinking and keep you behaving in certain ways and keep you taking action certain things? What are the emotions behind the situation? What's in your environment that can contributes to creating this situation over and over and over? What is it that's going on? One of the things that we realized with Tom, one of the places we went fishing, it was along a river in Oklahoma, that he had this unbelievable frustration of a trip, and it was so sad, and it was so frustrating. And then I stood back and I watched him. He was doing everything right. The problem was there was a tree with low-hanging branches that he didn't look up and see. And they weren't right overhead, so he didn't pay attention to them. But they were close enough that when he would throw his line out, he would have already caught leaves before it even got into the water. So it wasn't where he was fishing. Because, see, when he would pull the line back into him, there was all these leaves in his line. And it was like, dude, what is it with, you know, are you fishing where there's bushes in the water? Let's move. And he kept moving, you know, to like, is it in the water? No, there's nothing in the water, so we don't know what you're hooking on. You must have bad luck. But actually it was an overhead problem. But until we stood back and looked at the environment he was in, we didn't know what there was that we needed to address. And so what it is that is happening, okay? What's happening in these repeat cycles of inner work and getting stuck is sometimes you have to do that one-on-one work so that somebody else can help you realize what's in your environment that you're snagging on, what's in your environment that's causing the knots, what's in your environment. And you have to be in action. You can't be sitting back just, you know, oop, I'm going to wish it went away. No, you've got to take that action. This message is coming in. I love this. Angie, you're so cute. Angie just sent a message. You guys don't know Angie Milgate. She's contributing to the show. You could call in and raise your hand and contribute. I would love it. But this is what Angie says. And until we do one-on-one work and actually live the skills we are learning, live the skills we are learning in that coaching, we will keep knotting our line. It's not the coach who's going to keep you out of your knots. It's the client. Exactly, which is exactly part of what I was going to get to. Yes, Angie. Yes. You see, part of the problem with my kids, part of the problem with what I've shared in these metaphors is I didn't fail them. I'm not going to go to there with it. But part of what I didn't recognize was I didn't teach them how to avoid the knots. Tom got old enough that he started learning it, and he went on his own way, and he does his own thing with it. But Kelsey quit because I didn't teach her how to avoid the knots, and I didn't teach her how to do what it was she wanted to create in a way that didn't create the knots. But you could bet your ass that when it comes to clients, I know better. And that's why in doing one-on-one work with clients, it is up to the client to do their work, which is why when people come to me for clearings, I will do clearing work with people who are doing their coaching, because clearing is like cutting off the line over and over and over and over and over. I'm going to keep creating the same damn thing, but I'm just going to keep cutting the line. And so clearing work is like that. It's why the coaching is required. It's why the support is required, so that you can catch yourself and not keep repeating what it is that's going on, what it is you're creating. You've got to live the skills that you're learning. It is not up to the healer or the coach or anyone to keep fixing the problem. You think you're tired of this crisis management work you're doing? You ought to be on the coaching side. Oh, I did it again. Oh, it happened again. I'm so tired of dealing with this problem. Your coaching isn't working. That's one of my favorites. Coaching with you isn't working. Why isn't it working? Well, because the problem keeps happening. Well, why'd you create it? I didn't create it. It wasn't me. Yeah. So accountability is the first skill you must get. You must. Absolutely. Yes. I've got messages coming in out the wazoo. This is awesome, you guys. Yeah. Exactly. Radical accountability, somebody says. Exactly. Right. It's why people will not work with people who are not willing to be accountable. I'm one of them. I know Angie does too. Somebody else knows Angie's that way too. You've got to be accountable for your work. You can't stand the victim blame thing. Because how often, you know, I mean, really, how much of a fisherman would Tom be today if he was still blaming the bushes around him? You know, oh, it's a crappy fishing pole. It's bad fishing line. No, he had to stop. He couldn't blame the fishing or the knots that he hated picking out. So you know what? He actually tried fly fishing because it's more of his flow. It's more of his flow. And so that was how he took charge of it. Kelsey went on and did something totally different. She did crochet. She found what was her, what matched her. Yeah, she left the cross stitch behind. She found crocheting. Great. Why? Because the process of crocheting matched her flow. So this is one of the things that I will tell you. If you are really trapped in the cycle with coaching and saying that your repeat on inner work is not getting the repeat or the outcome that you need, the results you need, hey, maybe it's time you do something different. Instead of blaming the coach, maybe you aren't in alignment with what the coach has to offer. And this is where I get in a big, I don't know, a soapbox. This is where I climb on top of a damn soapbox and say, stop, 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 stop buying into a coach that you think the coach is the answer to your inner work. The coach has some skills. And the coach might be teaching skills that are the magic to change your life, but the truth is, until you're willing to apply that work to your life situation and every single dynamic that you go through, everything that coach has to offer you appears to be a failure because you aren't applying it. And that isn't on the coach. That's up to you. I've worked with clients who are so brilliant at hiding their oopses. They could totally override anything and hide it and make it look like it wasn't their fault. I've worked with many of them. And the truth is, until they quit doing that pattern of behavior and they get accountable and they change their actions, everything that they're doing is just going to be what they create. It's not going to actually change. Because they're only taking actions according to what they can have a scapegoat about. Because if they're in the pattern of blaming or being the victim of, and they do not step into their power and their truth and get accountable for everything they do by knowing and choosing actions that make them the co-creator of their life, they're just going to stay in the loop. You've got to get out of that space of blame. You've got to be able to do your entire thing of work. Yes, you need outside perspectives. Yes, accountability is key. Yes, you need somebody who can say, okay, so here's how this situation is created. This is how we undo this situation. But you've also got to get somebody who's willing to say, and now what work do we need to do so you can stop creating this damn situation? It doesn't matter if you have the skills on board to deal with the situation. How do you not create the situation? Yeah. And doing this work, when you suddenly realize, oh my gosh, I'm sabotaging myself in my inner work, I'm keeping myself from being vibrantly alive, and you actually start doing your work, what you'll experience is, like somebody said, is that sense of being fully alive. Like there's true transformation happening. Something's really actually changing. It's not just the idea of change. It's the experience of change. The experience of doing your work, the experience of the result. And that's part of that getting stuck in the cycle of processing that I see people get in that I feel so sad about. Why would you choose to keep repeating that cycle? Are you done yet? Sometimes we're not done. I can remember saying to somebody who was in a relationship with somebody who is extremely abusive and them coming and saying, I'm just, you know, blah, 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 blah. I'm done this time. I know I'm done. I've had it. I'm like, really? Okay, well, all right, we'll see. All right, I hear you're really committed. You're really fed up. Okay, I get, I can hear that. I can see that. And this person was so angry with me at the time because they wanted me to validate that they really were done. And I wouldn't do it. I don't know if you're done or not. What do you mean? I just told you I was. That doesn't mean you're done. And you know what the magic was? When they said, well, what do you mean? You don't know if I'm done. Like, I don't know if you're done. You're saying you're done, but that doesn't actually mean you're done. And they said, well, what will mean I'm done? And my response was very simple. And yet, damn profound. And it was this. When you stop taking action into that dynamic, I know that you're done with that dynamic. That's all. When your choices take action, make changes, remove you from an old dynamic, and you're living into a new environment or a new situation or a new lifestyle or a new change, that's when you actually know you're done with the old. Simple and complicated. Because it wasn't until that dynamic of abuse actually quit having contact with the abuser that they actually got out of the abusive relationship with that person. And yet, what was required was more than just stop interacting with the abuser. What was required was look at why are you in the dynamic with an abuser? Why are you choosing relationships that are abusive? What in you is choosing to engage in abuse? That is more profound and more revealing than just having no contact with the abuser. Because the pattern, the behavior, the actions are actually still in you that are involved in abuse. And it's until you change the action that you will stop engaging in abusive dynamics. You see, when the discomfort of one abuser in our lives is so intense that we think if we just disengage with that abuser that we will be fine, that's a really good place to start. Get out of the crisis, but don't stop your work there. Go deeper. Why was I actually there? What in me thought that was okay? What in me said I will tolerate this? What in me thought that it was okay that I took on the blame and shame and abuse that was sent my way? And what in that needs to change so that when I see it come my way, I know how to make a change immediately, not after I've been in another abusive relationship for 6 years. Instead, do you know what to do when that situation arises, period? But sometimes you are going to have a knot and you're going to have to untangle it or cut it off. But that doesn't mean that you're going to stay or you're going to buy real estate. It doesn't mean that you're going to stay in that. It means, oh, I recognize this and I'm out. I recognize this. Oh, man, I almost chose into something, again, that was different packaging, but had the same vibration or dynamic of it. Whew, that was close. But guess what? I changed my action. I changed my course of behavior. I took different action. And that's where you get yourself out of the repeat cycle. Don't get too comfy. You know, if something's working for you and it's creating the outcome you want, keep doing it. Keep doing that action. This creates the results I want. Fabulous. Keep working that with that coach. Keep doing that work. Keep taking that action. Keep doing that program. Fabulous. How will you know when you're done? When you're not getting the results or the change that you want. That's when you know. Until then, keep doing it. But always be steadily checking in. Is this still true for me? Is this still true for me? Is this still true? I mean, one of my very best friends, Megan, she did an ALC community. She did classes that were on a weekly basis. And every single time it was like, is it still true for me to go? Is it still true for me to enroll in another 9-month program? Quite honestly, when I started my inner work, there was no way I wouldn't have gone because she was such a lifeline. She did help me with the knots. She was my go-to with the knots. And it wasn't until she was my automatic go-to that I started going, oh, wait, there's more. I can look deeper. I don't have to cut off the, okay. So how did I create the knot? Okay, I'm not going to create the knot. And I knew I was out of that automatic response and automatic cycle with her when she offered a program that I went, hey, that sounds really cool, Megan. I'm not going to do this one. I hope you have great success with it. And you know what? Neither of us were attached to it. Neither of us were attached as to whether or not we continued working together or not, because she recognized that I was ready for a different learning. And I recognized that what she was teaching wasn't something that I was in the receptive mood for. That's all. It doesn't mean I don't love and adore her. But it just means that we're in a different space. And sadly, the repeat cycle sometimes happens because we get in a habit with the healer or the coach and it becomes, I don't know. I don't know if I agree with this or not. I'm just going to follow along blindly. I don't know if it, I don't know if it'll serve my life. I just know that Jen's teaching it, so I'm going to go. You got to know that you're choosing that. And you have to know that's okay if you do. Like, I don't care. I don't care what you're teaching. I'm going to be there. Why? Because we have fun. Awesome. Do you get what you want out of it? Yes. Are you coming to the program to have fun? Fabulous. Awesome. Are you coming to the program to change your life? Yes, I am. Fabulous, too. But at least be aware of why you're choosing it. You're not doing something wrong. You're on autopilot. Turn off autopilot. Because in the accountability I spoke of earlier, and in the patterns of behavior, and in, you know, applying the skills, the one thing you actually have to do is be vitally engaged in the activity. That means your vitality. That means your life force, the source of your energy, is engaged in what you're choosing. It's not an automatic. It's not a go-to. You must be presently aware. You must be engaged. You must be conscious. What? How many different, you know, let's get pull out the thesaurus, see how many different ways I can say this damn word. Because whatever it is for you, whether you use present, whether you use awareness, whether you use conscious, I don't care what the word is for you. I know for me, and this goes for everything that I'm doing. I talked about it kind of at the beginning of the show. If there's a show topic that doesn't light me up or turn me on or stimulate my aliveness, I know it's not the right show. Just like this show today. Hell, you guys, I was counting it down. Click, 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 15 minutes before the show, it finally got published and live. Why? Because I wasn't going to do it. I was willing to call off the show until a topic came in and resonated with me that it lit up my aliveness. And that's why I do this, because otherwise there's no point in doing this show. No, I don't need to do a show. I can go sit underneath the tree for an hour in my yard. So are you choosing anything in your life that doesn't turn you on? Because if you are, you got to figure out why the hell are you there. If you're on repeat cycle in your inner work, you got to figure out why the hell you're there. What habit is it? What auto response system do you have running? And then address it, figure out why it's there, and make a different choice. Make different choices and take action on them. That's where the true magic is, you guys. It really is. You know, having a thought is a great idea. But until you take action, it was just a great idea. Nice idea. It's when you take action that it changes. And when you add emotion to it, that's when it starts getting into your cells. Action can put it into your physiology, but you add emotion, and that's what gets it into your molecules. That's what gets it into your cells. So what needs to change in your life? Ask yourself, what areas of your life are you really good at untying knots? What areas of your life are you really good at cutting them away? And then ask, are you ready to figure out what's creating them and stop doing that or bring changes to that so that you're not creating a life of crisis management and undoing knots? That's a choice we have. That's a choice all of us have. What is it you want to choose? Every single moment of every day, we are making choices. We are all making choices. But what are your choices based on? Are they based on auto response? Are they based on pleasing somebody? Are they based on being liked? Are they based on not wanting to hurt somebody's feelings? Are they based on, you know, the comfort of somebody else? Are they based on your reputation? Are they based on your comfort zone? You've got to get real about what they're based on. Because when you know what they're based on, then you can address the governing factor of your decisions, your choices. Because that's actually what's creating the knot and the discomfort and the crisis. Not the knot that needs addressing. It's what's creating them. That is why doing one-on-one work matters. Yes, you can do group facilitation. And yes, sometimes you have more than one. I was realizing today, oh my gosh, I actually think I'm involved in 3 different programs currently. I think, oh my gosh, no wonder I feel a little overwhelmed, like I need a spring break. Why? Because I want to create change in my life. I know some areas aren't really working. I just engage with a friend to say, hey, let's do an accountability call every damn week. Let's do a check-in. I'm aware this is missing in my life. Are you willing to do this with me? Thank God she said yes. Because I knew it's what I needed in my environment to create an environment that wasn't sabotaging me, but instead the environment that was supporting me and the changes I wanted to take, changes I wanted to create and make. But I had to realize I wasn't doing it in order to ask for it. So what are you aware of that you're trying to stay in denial of? What are you not wanting to be aware of? And the best way to know what it is that you're really not wanting to be aware of is, what is the one area that you refuse to let yourself take any blame for? There's no way in hell I could be to blame for this. I didn't do this. Is it mine? Nope. This is all in them. There's no way I'm at the effect of this one. If you have an area like that, just so you know, that's where the juice is. The areas where you say, yeah, I'm willing to create, yeah, I could totally be accountable for this. Yeah, I could see where I'm creating that. Uh-huh. There's juice in there. Do you know what that is? That's forward creation. But if you want to stop your repeat cycling, you have to look at what you're doing to create it. Knowing the difference, that's why you hire a professional to work with you. There's no shame in that. I do it. So don't be afraid to get support. Take action. Sometimes that does mean you invest in yourself with time, commitment, energy, money, discomfort, all those things. Sometimes that is required. Absolutely. But you're not going to go from the couch to a marathon without some discomfort. All right? Yes, you got to learn how to cut away the knots, and you got to learn how to untie them. That's not bad. But you got to go deeper. And you got to figure out why you're creating the knots and how to stop yourself from repeating that cycle. That's how you break free, my friends. Thanks for being with me today. I'm so glad you showed up. Thank you for all the Facebook messages. You're fabulous. I read them all. Thank you. And I will talk to you very soon, as in tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in to Lighten Up with Jen and Sherry. To find out more about Sherry's craniosacral and massage therapy practice, by checking out her website at www.bodywisehealthcare.com. Bodywise is nourishment for the mind, body, and being. If you're part of an organization that could benefit from my dynamic, engaging public speaker for your next live event, or if you'd like to find out more about her programs offered, Jen can be reached at her website, www.jenhalterman.me.